This is Bikescape number 29. It's September 27th, 2005.
For room 104, the name's Herman, P.W. Herman.
No, nothing right now, Mr. Herman.
Hey, Bikescapers, how y'all doing? It's me, John. I'll be your host for the evening, morning, whenever you're listening. This is the podcast that talks about bikes. Bikes, bike culture, people who ride bikes, what they do, what they think about, all that stuff. Today, we're going to have a cultural podcast. We're going to talk about art and bikes. Maybe if you're into podcasting and listening to podcasts, you might have heard Art Mobs, which is a great podcast. Has nothing to do with bikes, but if you're ever in New York and you ever go to the New York Museum of Modern Art, the MoMA there has audio tours you can listen to, like lots of art museums do. And one of the nice things about podcasting is that anybody can make an audio tour of any museum, indoors or out. And it's pretty cool. You can listen and you can hear a professor type talking, you know, about stuff that you really wouldn't hear the museum talk about at all. Anyway, we have this really great mural that celebrates bicycling here in San Francisco, painted by a great muralist and great all-around artist, Mona Caron. And I got her to hang out in the DuBose Bikeway, where this DuBose Bikeway mural resides. And we got to talk about it, and she gave me an audio tour. So if you're ever in San Francisco, if you live in San Francisco, put in your headphones and let the artist take you on a tour of her mural. It's a 350-foot-long mural. Or if you're ever in San Francisco, ride your bike across the... Go to Blazing Saddles and rent a bike and take it across Golden Gate Bridge and all the normal things that you would normally do if you're visiting here. But one of the great tourist attractions is the Wiggle, which is the way that bicyclists get from one end of town to the other without actually having to climb any of the huge hills that San Francisco is famous for. So, and if you do that, you'll be passing right past Mona's wonderful mural, and she has two other murals in town. So I'd like to, without further ado, move on to the interview with Mona. All right, we're here out on, what's the name of this street?
This is DuBose Street.
This is a part of DuBose. I guess it's an alley or a street. It's really windy right now. Put my hand in there. There we go. Okay, we're here with... This is Mona Caron.
Hi.
Hi. Mona painted this beautiful mural, which you can now walk by and listen to the artist as you look at the mural. Or you can look at it on the web. Was it monacaron.com?
That's right.
Okay. And you can look at it there, but it's hard to see all. It's in detail. You can see detailed parts of it, right?
Some details, not a lot, because this, after all, it's, what is it? No, forget my numbers. 340 feet long, I believe it is.
Oh yeah, 1998. So, you painted this.
That's right. It's a long time ago.
Yeah,
it's getting beaten up a little bit, but it's still holding up pretty well.
Yeah. So murals are. I don't know about other towns, but murals are quite a tradition in San Francisco. It goes back to, we have our Latino heritage, and Diego Rivera painted a mural here, which lasted about 2 weeks.
Yeah, which lasted 2 weeks.
Well, no,
there's actually more than one mural here by Diego Rivera. There's one at City College.
There's one at
the Art Institute. It's still there. It's beautiful.
The one he painted at the Stock Exchange, they didn't like the message very much.
Right.
It didn't last very long. So the thing about murals, I guess, is they're architectural in nature, and they occupy space.
Well, I'd say that they're site-specific, and they kind of relate, at least usually they relate to the specific location that they're in. And this particular mural relates to the little street that we're standing on right now, which is the DuBose Bikeway. And in fact, it was commissioned by the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition to celebrate the transformation of this little alley that used to be this one-way car street into a two-way bike path. Bike street, basically.
It was the first time that a street was given over
yes.
to bicycles from cars.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so in order to celebrate that, we decided to put a mural on this long, long wall that would explain why this little stretch of street was so important to bicyclists, because it's just a small alley. Like, you know, a lot of people don't even know its existence. People who only drive around town don't even know that it exists, because, like, only if you walk in the neighborhood or you bike in the neighborhood, you're aware of the usefulness of this particular stretch of DuBose Street.
I think before the mural went up, nobody really wanted to walk here very much.
Right.
People came back here to pee or to maybe
that's true.
Vomit or something.
Uh-huh. But it's kind of funny. I'm seeing two joggers right now on the bike, on the eastbound bike path lane.
Yeah, it's actually set up almost like a car street. It's got it's got a dotted yellow line down the middle, mm-hmm. and you can hear the streetcar coming up out of the tunnel here.
Yep.
This is where the streetcar comes out. So this space is devoted mainly just to transit, I guess, different types, except for car transit.
Except for car transit, all sorts of transit. And it has a really great curve, which is really fun for all sorts of skateboarding tricks, I suppose. Rollerblades are really good on this particular surface, too.
Yeah,
so
it's got a sidewalk. I'm not sure why. I guess, well, it makes sense, I guess. There's fast traffic and slow traffic, and then a big chain-link fence where that separates you from the tunnel.
Yeah.
And up on the hill, there's the Mint.
Yep, where, like a fortress.
Yeah.
Looming down.
So, and I think it's an interesting space also because it's sort of the gateway between downtown and the neighborhoods.
It is, and that was that's what makes this stretch of street so important to bicyclists, is the fact that if you're going from anywhere downtown to anywhere west of the city, sort of like the Haight-Ashbury district and further on all the way to the Sunset or Richmond, you know, this whole huge part of town, the only way to do it without killing yourself, you know, climbing up crazy steep hills, mm-hmm. is going through what is called here, affectionately called the Wiggle, mm-hmm. which is this zigzaggy route through the Lower Haight. It's called Wiggle because it turns left and right and left and right, etc., etc. And this part, this little street here, is the gateway to the Wiggle. That's what,
yeah.
you know.
It's a miraculous thing because you can actually climb this huge hill without actually going up any hills.
That's right.
How does it work?
You
I don't
do,
understand
but,
it, but.
Well, because, I mean, it kind of makes sense. So that's another thing that I sort of allude to in my mural. And there's a section in the mural, you get very close to the ground. And what that's symbolic of is how when you're either walking or bicycling, you're actually somehow closer to or more aware of the topography of the city. Mm-hmm. And the reason this is the lowest route to get to the Haight is simply because we are here following the path of a creek that used to flow here, which is now underground, probably in some sewer pipes, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's under our feet.
It's under our feet. Huh. And that is also mentioned in the mural. There's the mural shows the Wiggle in the shape of a river. It's kind of like water, mm-hmm. a wiggly, watery way that mm-hmm. ends up in a manhole sewer.
Yeah. It's a journey across town from one end of town to
sewer
the other.
Drain.
Want to take a walk down the... let's take a tour.
Okay.
So the first thing you see is a strange it's kind of an irregular building. There's a door sticking out, electrical room, and a utility room. And I've been avoiding the wind by standing on this side, but then I can't see the mural.
Yeah, and then you see the downtown buildings, and if you look closely, though, they have faces, and they're scowling, unfriendly faces.
The big downtown skyscrapers.
Right, and those were drawn, designed, and painted by Jim Swanson. Local artist, and if you kind of follow the gaze of these angry buildings,
yeah, you can see the Bank of America, the 101 California.
Yep. And we get to a view, sort of a bird's eye view of Market Street, but it's a pretty dystopian Market Street where there's a tremendous traffic jam that definitely exaggerates reality, but it's just trying to, you know, make a point. Also, if you're going to visually wade through the cars, eventually get to the bottom of Market Street or the foot of Market Street, and you see a bunch of bicyclists streaming out, and that's critical mass starting. And in fact, the clock tower of the ferry building, Campanile, says, 6:05? Because it does So it's critical mass.
Oh, 5 minutes after six. Yeah,
that's
critical
right.
mass is leaving right on time.
Yep.
It doesn't leave on time anymore.
I know, that's the thing, is like 5 minutes is not quite enough.
We don't even get there till 6:15 these days. After all the gin and tonics.
It's kind of like, well, what time should I do? It needs to have something to do with six. That's kind of like the official time, but oh well.
Yeah, so the bicycles are, and there's these whimsical...
Yeah, and then there's, so okay, for over there, oh, I'm pointing here, which you can see in the radio, I suppose, but there's all sorts of weird pedal-powered Leonardo-esque type contraptions that are lifting off from the ground. They're like flying machines. They're all sort of vaguely bicycle-based, different kinds of flying machines.
Were you thinking about the Wright brothers when you painted this one guy on a little biplane
bicycle?
No, I was
really thinking more Leonardo when I was thinking. Who, after all, I don't know if this is true, but apparently invented the bicycle too. I don't know.
Oh, really? He invented everything.
He invented everything, so that's another thing. But like, no, it's just like all different types of people. And the people that, one thing that they all have in common, there's one that's kind of like a pedal-powered blimp. There's another one that has like Leonardo-style wings, etc., propellers. They're all trailing this golden banner, sort of like a big flag, like a big ribbon, like a giant golden ribbon. These little characters symbolize kind of the dreamers, the utopians, who are kind of rising above this morass, like this mess, and try. And each one has kind of their own idea of how, you know, a different future could be like. You know.
It also reminds me of the Wright brothers' plane, because they were bicycle mechanics too, and they probably
really?
Would. Yes,
oh,
they,
yeah.
they and it looked very similar, the little biplane thing. Uh-huh. Probably was the bicycle technology that made it light enough and flexible enough that they could actually figure out a way to fly there
uh-huh.
at the time. But that's not what you were thinking.
That's the thing about this mural and any kind of picture. It's like, it's not just what the intention is; it's what people, you know, find. It's much richer when you think of it as the collective meaning that all people ascribe to it. You know, rather than just my intention or whatever.
So then we continue the journey and these. Yellow streamers
The yellow streamers continue on, and the whole, as we move, I guess, westward here, the whole rest of the mural unfurls as one giant one of these yellow banners. So it's like here starts kind of the vision of a car-free city. We're being blown away by this.
Yeah, you spent how many months out here painting this? Like this?
5 months? Oh my god. This is a really strong wind. Yeah. But, this is kind of, from here on, there's a view of the city that is car-free and it's all transit. And the next scene here, you can probably hear in the background, there's a Muni train going by, the uh-huh. streetcar. And right here you have that very same streetcar. Sort of like beckoning to the people on the other side of the fence here.
Oh, but it's not the end Judah, it's the end desire.
Of course.
Yeah, okay.
You had to. And also, beyond the train, you see this very location that we're in, and including a mural within the mural. So basically, at this point, you have a view of DuBose Street and Church Street, and the mural itself in it, and all sorts of characters that are...
People from folklore, San Francisco.
That's right.
Folklore. We can see Chris Carlson over there.
That's right. And
is that Mary Brown? I always thought that
Mary
was Mary
Brown. Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's Mary Brown.
And
that's James Curran down there.
Yeah.
And
what's happening as the streamer turns into a road? The streamer kind of is dragged by the bicyclist at a critical mass, and it sort of gets wider and wider, and it becomes the road. It sort of takes over from the buildings,
yep.
And then you see the story unfolding.
Yes.
You called it a scene, like a movie.
Did
you mean to do that?
This is actually really meant to be cinematic, because I was really thinking of somebody looking at this mural, not just by sitting in front of it and staring at it, but like moving along it. It has kind of like a sinuous sort of up and down motion throughout that is meant to be kind of fun as you just glide along, either on a Muni train or on a bicycle. It kind of, you know, flows from one scene to the other. And the next scene here, to keep... that using that word, is this wiggle that I was talking about before. And you can see the names of the streets that make up the wiggle, which, by the way, I mean, there's several possibilities to make the wiggle, but
everybody
still,
has their own wiggle.
Everybody
yes.
has their own wiggle, but nevertheless, there's like some, there's like Siner, Waller, you know,
yeah,
Pierce,
the water,
Scott.
The, yeah, so the streamer turns into a road, and then it turns into a stream.
Yep.
And you can with rocks in it, and you can just sort of make out the names of the streets in the stream. Yeah.
Yep. And then the Wiggle, which is this zigzaggy route through the Lower Haight, ends up or funnels into the bike path of the Panhandle of Panhandle Park, and the Haight. And so here we have a view of the Haight and Panhandle Park, except there's a small difference, which is Oak Street is no longer there, which is this big one-way, many-laned car street.
We'll still see the death of Oak Street one day. There's no freeway connected to it anymore, so it has no excuse for being the way it is anymore.
Well, we'll see, yeah. So instead, there's people gardening, there's all sorts of things happening. There's also a bunch of Victorian houses turning into trees in sort of an Escherian fashion.
I never noticed that.
You know, many people don't.
Oh, yeah, Escher, your fellow, your paisana.
Paisano.
Yes, another Swiss person. You're from Switzerland, right?
Yes, I am, from the Italian part.
Yeah.
And, that's that character there. That's Bill Stender, who also helped a lot with the mural. He did all the amazing lettering over there, and he helped tremendously throughout the project.
Sign maker extraordinaire.
Yep. And he's wearing a t-shirt that we designed for the project.
Goes a skateboard.
There goes a skateboard.
Two of them. It sounded like that. It's in stereo in my ears here. Yeah, and, so here we have the Victorians open right onto the lawn here.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
And, as we move along, up there, there's... Have you ever noticed that? That is the Sutra Tower.
Yeah.
Landmark
of San
Francisco.
From San Francisco. You may have seen
but
the big
look
TV
at it
tower.
Carefully.
It looks like Burning Man.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess that... And 98 was the first time I ever went there, so... when I came back, I sort of had to, like, transformed it into a...
I've still never been to Burning Man. Maybe I'll never go. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's turning to nighttime, too, here.
Hey, look at who's there.
Oh, he just jumped out of the mural and onto reality.
It's Chris Carlson in person. We just saw him on the mural.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, John. Hi, Mona. Here
Ring
we are
your bell.
Podcast reality again.
Whoa,
that's the thing about this space is you run into people you know.
That's right.
You probably knew we were here, but still.
I had a sneaking suspicion.
Yeah. But we the whole time we've been talking, skateboards have been going by and many bicycles.
And joggers, which couldn't be audible, but we described them.
Okay, so now it's nighttime. We're into the next scene.
Now it's nighttime, and in the next scene, we're in Golden Gate Park. You know, like the panhandle feeds into Golden Gate Park, and so you keep on going on your path west. And...
This is the spot that could have been the Panhandle Parkway. Panhandle Freeway almost happened, right? Oh, okay. Chris disagrees. It's could have further down a little bit. So lots of skunks. You see skunks in the city here. There's a lot of wildlife.
Yep.
We get our dog regularly gets skunked in the backyard.
There's a raccoon over there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then what happens to the road here? It's sort of...
And then there's a really surreal transition where the next scene of the mural kind of flakes off the wall. There's like squares that fall off of the picture and reveal the picture underneath.
Yeah. A little trompe l'oeil
transition here. There is a snake, really giant snake, but if you follow the length of the snake, which is, how many feet is this? I don't know, maybe 100 feet long. At a certain point, the snake that is concave becomes convex.
Yeah, how did you do that?
Shading.
Art.
It's like art. It becomes convex, and this subtle pattern, sort of sand color pattern on the back of the snake becomes the pattern of the bicycle tire track in the sand as we arrive at Ocean Beach. So here we're on Ocean Beach, and all of a sudden we're very, very close to the ground, so all little plants and animals that are really tiny are blown up really huge.
There's lots of little details. There's little footprints.
Little footprints. Yeah, that's right.
Lizard.
There's all sorts of footprints. There's a lizard print, bug print, raccoon print, bird print.
Yeah,
there's all sorts of.
It's a tiny little lizard, but it's huge. It takes up half the wall. But you
so
know,
I guess
it's small.
A little, symbolism of this was that is not that I somehow condone or support off-road, bicycling or whatever, bicycling into endangered habitats. It's none of that. I've heard all sorts of interpretations. It's really just metaphoric that, the way the bicycle tire track mixes in or like blends in with the footprints of these animals, it's symbolic of the fact that bicycling is a relatively low impact mode of transportation upon nature. That's all. It's all it means.
And it also seems like, I'm making this up as I go along, but it seems like it brings everything closer because everything's closer to you when you're riding a bike.
That's right. You know? Yeah, exactly. So this is like becoming more aware of your surroundings, of not just the topography, but really the nature around you. And so at the very end of the picture here of the mural, at the west end, you see the legs and the huge bicycle riding into the sunset.
Yeah,
kind of like a fitting Western end, no?
Yeah. Well, that's San Francisco. It's the end of the... they say if you tilt the country up on its side, all the loose nuts and bolts come flying down to this side of the country.
Okay.
So you can't get any farther.
Mm-hmm.
So people have to go into their minds here, yeah. I guess. That's the metaphor.
Yeah, and they definitely have to go a little bit with their imagination because, like, the sea that the ocean that I depict is kind of tropical. Like, normally you'd see a lot of fog.
Yeah.
So it's got always a particularly nice day in San Francisco. It's not a very...
Maybe two or three days a year
maybe.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the fog, and it... I can't really tell you exactly... This is the part that's hard to describe. You'll have to come here yourself, listeners. But there's all this purple mixed into the sand. This is really beautiful texture, and... You can tell you spent a lot of time. This is just a beautiful mural. I don't know.
Well, thank you. But there's a lot of... Oops, streetcar coming. There's a lot of volunteer that helped out. And by the way, I need to mention Joel Pomerantz, who was
indefatigable
coordinator of this project. Without him, this would never have happened.
Raise a lot of money? How much did he have to...
It was mostly about like volunteer coordination, etc. The money was... came from a portion of the so-called ICT grant, which the city gets to put into alternative transportation, and just a section of that went towards bicycling, a section of that went towards the city bike plan, and Peter Tannen, who is somebody who works at the city bike plan, I believe it's called, assigned a portion of that portion of the money to making this bikeway. Most importantly, and secondly, also left to do a mural.
Yeah.
So his name is actually gilded on the credits.
Peter's name, Peter Tannen.
Yeah, because like he secured the money for this thing.
Well, it was a major transformation. It was what it's done is it's taken a piece of space and just changed it completely from a space where nobody wanted to be to a place where just community actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
Various different kinds of communities intersect just for a minute.
Right.
And it's a transformational thing to go. There's the streetcar again. The music of the sound as you come. Watch out for that bike.
Just got run over by a bicycle. Darn bicycle.
Yeah. Well, I guess I should thank you for being. Is there anybody else who deserves credit that we need to talk about? We talked about Bill and Joel.
Let's head over to the credit section and we can read some off of them.
Okay.
There's a core group of artists that kind of formed organically, wasn't necessarily put together at the very beginning, but as the project went along, people participated and volunteered doing the backgrounds, and among them, I got to know some really excellent people we had a great time with, and they sort of slowly joined up what I call the core artist team, and that comprises besides me, Gordon Dean, who was really my right arm. is that the expression? I don't know, but Gordon Dean was great. Bill Stender, that we mentioned before.
Yeah.
Mary Anderson, Mike Rousseau, and Seth Dam.
Well, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I invite other people listening to go and check out the other murals around town. She's got a Mona. Maybe we'll get a chance to do another one about the Market Street mural, the Market Street
the
Railway.
The Market Street Railway mural, which is actually just two blocks from here. It's on Church Street and 15th, so it's, two blocks south.
And you're painting a new one right now in Mona Valley,
And I'm painting
right?
another one again on Church Street. Can you believe it?
Yeah, it's the Mona
Church
and 27. The Mona Corridor.
The Mona Corridor is good. Yeah, well, working on it. And that one, I'm just starting right now, and it's going to be a botanical theme with some sort of hidden imagery, which I won't talk about. But until they're there.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Great.
We'll talk to you again. Please be on the show again sometime.
Okey-doke.
Helps if I turn the microphone on. So if you happen to be looking on your computer this evening and you check out the blog, bikescape.blogspot.com, I'll put some links up. It might be a day or two, as usual. It takes me a while to do that sometimes. But Mona says that Leonardo da Vinci invented the bicycle, and there's a link to a Google search, and some people think it's true, other people think it's a hoax, whatever. But there's some nice drawings of bicycles, as they would be drawn if they weren't drawn by Leonardo himself. Well, what else is happening here? What should we start with? The Bicycle Film Festival. That's probably the biggest thing that's happening here in San Francisco. It's made its way across the country. It's been to New York. It's been to Los Angeles. It's been to London, and now next week, October 5th through 8th, it's opening in San Francisco here, where Bikescape originates, and then November 19th through 20th, it'll be going to Tokyo for the last stop. Brent Barber is the producer, and also the producer of Still We Ride, the movie. And let's see, what's he got going on here? Close this window. Open this window. Yes, he's got the first movie will be. He's got several movies. A Sunday in Hell from Denmark, 1973, 35mm, 110 minutes. A rare screening of one of the finest cycling films ever made. It features the annual Paris-Roubaix road race, which taxes the energy of Europe's top riders. A Sunday in Hell is over 100 minutes of finely calculated suspense that leaves viewers limp from pain in pure excitement. Don't miss this amazing and rare film. October 7th, 9 p.m. in the Victoria Theater, right here in the Mission in San Francisco. Adventure High from Estonia, 2004, digital video, 89 minutes. Estonian, Chinese, Russian, and English subtitles. Five friends travel by bicycle from Mongolia to Nepal, hoping to experience old-fashioned travel adventures. October 8th, 3 p.m., also at the Victoria. Pure Sweet Hell, USA, 2005, digital video. A day in the life of a New York City messenger. The fastest man in the city, Daniel Lieb cinematography, dances with Bob's bicycle, Alfred Bob, through the moving city. This film is sure to make everyone who's ever considered moving to New York to become a bike messenger book himself on the next flight to JFK. Not only a stunning portrait of the courier workday, messenger is a tribute to New York's energy and its do-or-die attitude. That's great. So speaking of do-or-die and in New York, they're having their monthly Still We Speak rally. To protest the absence of free speech in New York. And it's a rally to support free speech and freedom of assembly. Friday, September 30th at 6 p.m., Union Square South, 14th Street and Broadway in Manhattan. That's just, of course, right before the Critical Mass Manhattan Ride, which starts at 7 p.m., also on the last Friday of the month, September 30th. It'll be starting from its traditional spot at Union Square North, but also, since there's been some repression on that ride, it'll be starting from multiple spots, Madison Square Park, Washington Square Park, Tompkins Square Park, or anywhere else you want to start. Get a group together and do it. They see Time's Up is saying, Hurricane Katrina has helped draw attention to the impact of global warming and overdevelopment. It's time to take sustainable transportation seriously and reduce our dependence on foreign oil. Come ride your bike and show your support for non-polluting transportation. Here in San Francisco, there's going to be a solar tour of San Francisco, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., a guided bike tour that meets at 12 noon on the east side of Dolores Park, Dolores and 19th. It's a big park, so the Dolores and 19th Street's part of it. The bicycle tour is 8.5 miles, 3 hours, a nice leisurely pace. The SFBC members, the Bicycle Coalition members, pay a $5 fee. I think what they're saying is non-bicycle. No, it's confusing. Usually SFBC members get to go for free, and it's a $5 fee for non-members, so this might be a typo. But bring $5 anyway. Might want to bring lunch also. You visit 10 solar homes in 8 neighborhoods open to the public, highlighting alternative transportation. Learn directly from these pioneers how solar works, what it costs, and why its time has come. There's also an optional 2-hour tour by biodiesel bus. SFBC members, I think the bicycle will be a lot more fun. I mean, sure, it's biodiesel, but it's still a bus, you know? I mean, geez. But if you can't ride, ride the bus. SFBC members get an on-site registration discount, $10 for 2 people, organized by the San Francisco Electric Vehicles Association. Well, that sounds like sort of fun. I think checking out the solar houses would be very interesting. I've been wanting to do that to my place for a while. Is that all I'm going to talk about? Oh, yes. We're going to have a sneak preview. My friend Kyle and I are doing a sneak preview of Still We Ride, which will also be playing at the Bicycle Film Festival. I don't think I mentioned that as one of the movies playing at the film festival. But Still We Ride is about Friday, August 27, 2004, in New York City, just days before the start of the Republican National Convention. 264 people were arrested on charges of disorderly conduct and parading without a permit during the monthly bicycle celebration Critical Mass. As you know, the ritual began in 1992 in San Francisco and has since spread around the world to over 300 cities. The August crackdown in New York City was the beginning of an ongoing effort to suppress free assembly for group rides. The monthly cycle of arrests and bicycle seizures has forced the bike community into a legal battle with the city and politicized the very act of riding a bike. It's going to be at Station 40, which is a unknown little... Actually, it's somebody's home. It used to be a firehouse. Sort of a living room showing. Don't confuse this with the Bike Fest Film Festival. And if you don't get in, we're going to have room for 80, maybe 100 people if we really squeeze them in tight. And a lot of people won't be able to go. It's going to be right after Critical Mass, 9 p.m., September 30th. After Critical Mass, Station 40 is at 3030B 16th Street at Mission Street, right in the Mission, the heart of the Mission, not too far from the BART station if you're not riding. We hope to have bike parking. I'm not sure it's going to happen. I haven't had any volunteers yet. If you want to volunteer, write to me, bikescape@sbcglobal.net. I really could use some help with the bike parking. I want to go see some of the movie, too. And I hear there's going to be free beer, okay? Now, this whole thing, it's not really free. We're looking for donations, $4 to $10, sliding scale. Of course, you don't have any money. You're welcome to come in, check out the movie. But this is a benefit for... the people in New York who are fighting the legal battles. We haven't decided exactly. It'd probably go to the legal defense fund that's being collected to help fund the all the legal fees that are accruing these days in New York. It's a very expensive battle, and that's the thing that we have to raise money for more than anything else here in the bicycle community, and also for, you know, anybody who values free speech and freedom of assembly. So, Still We Ride viewing, and come and see the sneak preview. And I believe that's all I have to say for this edition of Bikescape. So check out the blog, bikescape.blogspot.com. Write to me. Leave messages on the blog. This is the first of three podcasts I'm working on at the same time. So we got more coming. We got an interview with Dave Glowatz coming up. Already interviewed him. Got to put that together. He's the author of Urban Bicyclist Tips and Tricks. All sorts of tips and tricks on how to buy a bike, maintain it, ride it in traffic, how to keep it from getting stolen, how to go on a date. He's got advice about everything, eating, health, lots of stuff. Also, we're going to have a special on, as if I haven't talked about New York Critical Mass enough, we're going to have a special talk on that too. Some interviews with people from New York. Hopefully we'll have some interviews with some of the legal eagles that have been helping out pro bono in New York. So that is it for another Bikescape. Take the lane. It's only for your safety. It's legal. Take the lane. Take the lane. Get out of that door zone and take the lane. Bye, everybody. Okay.
Leonardo's bicycle and me, away from all the trains and cars, alone with gears and handlebars, I'm free. Leonardo's bicycle and me, why bother paint a picture that isn't sunny? Wine gums and iron brew with milk and honey. When I feel low, I just get up my bike or rainbow colored trike and ride away. Leonardo's bicycle and me, away from all trains and cars, alone with gears and handlebars, I'm free. Leonardo's bicycle and me. My map of many colors, a bird in every tree. I'm riding high on rubbers, the road belongs. Trains and cars, alone with gears and handlebars, I'm free.